This morning, folks, we're going to be looking at Matthew 19, 16 through 22, if you have your Bibles. And we're going to be talking about Jesus that spoke to the rich young man. And, folks, we know that today's world that we live in, we see all kinds of people in this world. We see people that struggle with having enough to eat and a place to live. Homeless people are more and more each and every day. If you're in Paris, you don't see it like you would if you was in Memphis or Nashville, but there's a group of people that live in Paris in a homeless encampment, and it's growing every day, and it's a sad situation. A lot of people are there because they can't do any better. A lot of people are there because of their own choosing, their own desire. You know, once upon a time when I was driving a truck, I'll tell you this right quick, I was in Nashville each and every other morning, every two or three mornings I'd unload in Nashville. And it was in a real rough part of Nashville, and there was a whole bunch of homeless people. Probably told you this before. But I would walk to the corner market down there, and everybody kept telling me up there at that place where I unloaded, they said, "Mike, you go get killed walking down there." I said, "I'm not going to get killed. They're not going to bother me." Well, there was this one dude I'd tell everybody all the way, every morning, I'd tell everybody, if y'all want to go to the corner market and get a biscuit, a cup of coffee or a milk or whatever you want, follow me. And nobody would go. They wanted to know if they could get a buck or two. That's what they'd just give me, a buck or two. And I had one guy, after about the second or third morning I walked down through there, I had one guy that went with me. And so I bought him breakfast with me, and we sat and talked, and we kind of got to be friends. And every morning when I would unload, he would be there waiting on me, and he would show me, he would give me his time. I didn't give him mine. He gave me his. And I learned so much from this gentleman, so much. And the thing that I learned mostly about this gentleman was he was probably as wealthy as two-thirds of the people in Nashville. He chose to live down there because that was what he called his people. He didn't live with his family on holidays and things like that. His family would come get him and clean him up and take him back with them. But he had a family that was capable of him living in a different way. And that made me look at the homeless people a whole lot different than it did at the very beginning, because I think when I see a homeless person, they can't do any better. You know, they can't do any better. But a lot of times people live that way because they love the people they're living with. They love those people. They have devoted themselves to living in a less life than what they could be living in, although this guy had problems as well. And his wife didn't like the problems he had, so he just come down there and live with them. You know, it's more to it than just one story. But everyone's always got a story and a compassionate heart. And this guy had the means of doing things that the others couldn't. Rich young ruler, we have to stop and think about, as we said earlier this morning, first things first, folks. Priorities. As you begin to live your life and you begin to become older and responsible, and you begin to have to live on your own. And as Daddy always told me growing up, that, you know, when I was before I turned 18 years old, you know, and it's bad to say, but he said, that's my plate, boy. That's my clothes, boy. That's my roof you're sleeping under. And that's true. But when we become of age and we become where we have to get out and we have to make our own living, then you realize that you have to put first things first. You have to line your life up with something. I lived many years, folks, without being lined up really with anything. I just lived for Mike. And that doesn't work. I'll tell you, that does not work. You've got to line yourself with God. You've got to be lined with your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You've got to have a relationship with them. So Jesus is talking to this, he begins to talk to this young man in Matthew 19, 16. And he says that it starts out that he comes to Jesus with a question. And he says, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" "Why ask me about what is good?" Jesus replied. "There's only one who is good. But to answer your question, if you want to receive eternal life, keep the commandments." "Which ones?" the man asked. And Jesus replied, "Well, you must not murder, you must not commit adultery, and you must not steal, and you must not testify falsely against your brothers. Honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself." "I've obeyed all these commandments," the young man replied. "What else must I do?" And Jesus told him, "If you want to be perfect, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." But when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. This is a reading of God's word for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, folks, in just those few little verses, there's so much said. So much said. You know, did this guy have any humility? Very little. Very little. What are you hearing here? In this scripture that we just read, we're hearing about this dude that has come to Jesus. He said, "What can I do? What can I do?" You know, what can you do? You cannot do anything but humble yourself before the Lord. That's the only thing that we can do, folks, is humble ourselves before the Lord and ask Him to forgive us and ask Him and thank Him for dying upon that cross that we can have eternal life. But he come to Jesus that morning, calling Him the good teacher, the great teacher. And Jesus said, "There's only one that's good, and that's the Father." Now, Jesus was equal to God. The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Jesus could have said, "Well, there's no one good but myself." He didn't, did he? He said, he answered him, "There's no one good but one, and that's God the Father." Jesus humbled himself as he began to speak to this young man. He also was trying to teach him, "Son, it's not about your possessions. It's not about what you can do. It's not about you coming and doing anything for me. I don't need you to do anything. I need you to know that it's all about the relationship with your Father and with me." Mainly your Father is what Jesus was trying to tell him. And so the young man says, "Well, you know, there's got to be something that I can do because..." And he named off the commandments. Well, why did he name these commandments that he named off? Because these commandments that he named off, folks, are relationship commandments. He didn't start right at the very beginning. He picked them up in the middle, and he named off five or six commandments, but he didn't name the last one. And so he says, the one that talks about coveting, he didn't name it. And so he said, Jesus says to him, that you have to do not murder, commit adultery, steal, or testify falsely. That's tell a lie about anybody. Tell your father, honor your father and mother, and love your neighbor as yourself. Well, golly, Bill, he's thinking, "I've got this. This is all we got to do. There's got to be more to this than what we're being told, what Jesus is telling me." And so he's thinking, "I've done all of this, Lord. I've done all this, Jesus. What else can I do?" He said, "Then if you really want to follow me, if you really want to be a disciple of mine, then you need to sell what you have because you're rich. You have a lot of stuff. You covet the money you have. You covet what your neighbor has that you don't have. You are really rich, and you need to get rid of all of that. And then give it to the poor, and then you will be perfect." Folks, today, I want us to understand something about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and about God. God, everything we own, as Daddy used to say about that plate and about my clothes and about the roof, everything we own was Dad's and Mom's when I was growing up. We all knew that. Back in the day, we all knew who owned what. We didn't have to ask. They'd tell you in a heartbeat. And so if you didn't believe it, they would correct you real, real quick. Difference in the way we live today. But it's God's. Everything we have belongs to the Heavenly Father. Folks, you're breathing today. You're breathing air right this minute. Whose is it? Is it yours? No, it belongs to God. And folks, what we get caught up in is we think everything we have is ours. Everything we have our name on is ours. It's not ours. He's been given to you just to be a steward of, but it's not yours. It's not mine, but it is God's. So, folks, I think what we see in this story today is we're seeing the fact that Jesus is telling them, now, what you need to do is sell your stuff and give your stuff to the poor. Give your money to the poor. And then when you give your money to the poor, you will have completed everything and you would be a true disciple of mine and following me for sure. I don't really think that's what Jesus is saying to us today, literally. I think he's saying, okay, Mike, I blessed you. I've given you a lot of stuff. You're stewards of a lot of stuff, and you don't need it all. You don't need it all at all. You've just been given this and been blessed with it. And I think that in my heart, I really truly believe that if we share what God gives us and we share abundantly, we share with others in our material things, in our money, and in even to the point of maybe inviting someone into your home. Folks, this is what God is asking us. I know today in the world we live in, there's not many people that we want to just invite to come move in for a while because they come and they won't leave, and I understand all that. But there's people that you can help for a day or two. And there's people that will appreciate it. And folks, we have to know that if it's not money, if it's not your home, and you say, well, Mike, I'm doing okay. I don't need anything. I'm fine. God has blessed me. I don't really need anything. And I really can't give a lot more than what I'm doing right now. That's fine. That's all good. Jesus knows this. God knows this. So what else is left that I could do, Mike? Well, what about your time? Well, I don't want to give up my time. What about your time? To me, folks, time is older. The older I get, time is the most important thing in the world. And the older I get and the more I look at the people around me, time is what most people desire. They desire time. Your time. Just as that guy that sat with me and talked with me and we'd eat a biscuit and drink a cup of coffee and at the store down at the corner market in Nashville on about every other morning, he shared with me a lot more, and I probably received a lot more from him than he did from me. Even though I would try to talk to him and find out a little bit about him. And you know I didn't talk, but anyway, sometimes he'd let me talk. And I would try to talk and find out some things about him. And I come to find out, folks, that he had sparred boxing with some of the biggest names that there was. He was he could have been probably a championship had he wanted to. I come to find out that when Johnny Cash or anybody needed something done as a brick mason or as a rock mason, they came and found him. And the contractors always got him to do that work in these mansions. I come to find out a lot about this man. And like I said, the fact that he didn't have to live like he did. He didn't tell me that. One of the others told me, and I asked, and I got to asking about him, and they told me that that's true. He has a family and a very nice house, and he chooses not to live with them. So folks, when we see Jesus telling the poor man to sell your stuff, he told him to sell his stuff because he cherished his stuff more than anything in this whole wide world. He wanted every dollar he could get. He wanted all the stuff that he can get. And I'm just saying, nobody likes a toy no more than me. I love a toy. From a little bitty one to a great big one, I love a toy. And nobody loves them no more than me. But he was just saying, you're going to cherish the world. You need to get rid of the world. And you need to come and be a disciple of mine. And we see in the very last sentence that we read, that the young man, the very last thing, says, but when the young man heard this, he went away sad, for he had many possessions. He wouldn't give them up, folks. He wouldn't give them up for the Lord. His understanding of what Jesus was telling him, it was plain. He understood it every bit. And for him, Jesus had called him to get rid of everything. I think for most of us, Jesus is calling us to do a whole lot more for others than what we do all the time. I think that Jesus is asking us, Mike, what in the world are you really doing? I've blessed you and I've blessed you and I see very little in return out of you, dude. Because I think that's really what and how I feel so many times. I could have helped this fellow, but I didn't. I could have done this, but I didn't. I could have went to this family and I know they were in a time of need and I didn't. Y'all ever asked yourselves that? Why didn't I do more than I do? I do. I find myself questioning myself a lot, you know. So we have to ask ourselves, are we a true disciple of Christ? I love him, Mike. I appreciate him dying upon that cross for me and he's forgiven me. Yeah, sure he has. But, and that's all he asked of us. His grace is what brings us to the eternal life. It's through his grace and his grace alone. But folks, he told when we poured the water, he said, if you want eternal life, he said, then what do you need to do? How do you read it? And he said, to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and strength, and love my neighbor as myself. He said, you got it. You got it figured out, dude. He said, now go and you can have eternal life. Loving your neighbor as yourself. That's the second part of that commandment. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Which we can say, well, we do. We love him to death. We love the Lord. That's good. That's wonderful. But what about your neighbor? Do you love your neighbor? How concerned are you about your neighbor? I just ask. I don't know. But I do know one thing. To be a true disciple of Christ means sacrifice. It means that he desires the disciples. Just think about them. The disciples, he told them just to leave everything. Come on, follow me. Come on and go with me. And Peter said, well, what are we going to get out of this? If we follow you, we've left our families, we've left our homes, we've done everything to follow you. And Jesus said, if you follow me and leave your family and your kids and your wives, you will receive 100 times more in the kingdom. So, folks, to some people, he is called to leave everything. To the 12, he called to leave everything. Come with him and follow him. Now, he may be calling you to leave everything, to sell everything. He may be just asking you to wake up, to look it around as to what's going on. And as we know, a lot of times we've heard people say, well, how in the world do you know what's going on? How do you know what's happening around you like this, Mike? How do you know? I listen to what people tell me. People's telling me constantly about stuff that's happening in the world. As I come in this morning, my Cottage Grove crew was telling me about a bad accident that's happened down in that part of the world this morning. And I listen to all the needs. And there may be a need that we need to do something after we leave here. Who knows? But folks, the thing is, you have to listen. And that's God speaking to you. And you have to be willing. When you hear God speaking to you, you have to be willing to answer that call. You can't just ignore it. You've got to hear what we've been trying to teach these kids in Vacation Bible School. You've got to hear the call of God. And when you do, you have to respond. Now, you can be like Jonah and you can run from him. And you can hide, try to hide out, and you may end up in the belly of a whale. I don't know. But you got to think about it. Because if he's calling you, he called me for a long time. And I done everything I could to run from him. I done everything I could to step away from him. But in the true big sense of everything was, I couldn't run no further. I was hemmed up. I had to give up. It's like catching a horse. Used to, we rode horses all the time. And we'd have to run one half a day just to ride him a couple hours. But at some point, he'll finally give up if you hem him up. And you can get your hands on him. So that's the way we are with God. You can run and run and run. But folks, finally, you'll have to give in to the Word of God. I hope today that we're not like the rich young ruler. I hope that we don't have so many possessions and million-dollar houses and all of the things that we have in this world today that we continue to just put in a spot and call ours. I hope we're not caught up in all of that. I hope that we are satisfied to take part of our possessions, just part of our possessions, and share with others. That's all God asks you to do, to love your neighbor as yourself. If there's a need, you see a need, let's meet the need. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.